And then we really looked at it and categorized, okay, wow, there's a lot of prioritization around diversity and inclusion. Actually, that one's first on purpose, because that diversity and inclusion really permeates throughout the rest of what we want to see in the rest of the values through culture, education, innovation, and that one comes first for a reason. But if you look previous in the plan to the key takeaways, we really just kept seeing these themes come up and said, okay, this is what our community, if the Innovation District succeeds, this is what they want to see and this is what they want to uphold. So we put this first in the plan because we, the work that's done, there's a lot of different directions the development could go, but we want it through the lens of these values because this is what our community finds to be crucial.
Mary Stargell and Toyin Lanaday represent the Enterprise Center, the nonprofit organization that operates at the center of Chattanooga's Innovation District. Today, we discuss the new Innovation District Framework Plan, which was released in March. The plan, in our conversation, explores and revolves around the values, strategies, and urban design framework that will guide this district into the future. This is the Camp House Podcast, and I'm your host, Matt Busby. And Toyin, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, so my guests today are Mary Stargell and Toyin
Lanaday.
I was hoping to get that right. But today we're actually going to be talking about the Innovation District and specifically the framework plan that was released back in March. And so, you know, first of all, both of you, you work for the Innovation District. How does that work?
We work for the Enterprise Center, located in Chattanooga's Innovation District.
Yes. Yeah, and so Toyin, what's your role with the Innovation?
I'm the Marketing and Communications Coordinator.
Okay, so that would make sense that you're here talking about this.
Yes. Yeah.
And Mary?
I work as the Director of Innovation District Programs. So
okay.
Basically what we're talking about today is my job.
Yeah, we're going to get into the programming and the strategies here towards the end. You know, for listeners to the podcast, people who have been listening to this for a while, you know, about a year ago, actually, we had Ken Hayes and Ann Coulter on to talk about the Innovation District. And that's, you know, I think a year ago, I think it was still very embryonic in a lot of ways. But recently, you guys have released this framework plan that puts a lot of, you know, a lot of muscle, a lot of skin on the bones of what people have been dreaming about and imagining for a while. And so, as almost a brief introduction, you know, what is the framework plan all about?
So framework plan is really taking a look at the Innovation District. So which, the Innovation District came to be January 2015 and has been a dense urban core of our downtown district to really bring people together and to create collisions and growth within the innovation economy, which is a lot of words, meaning that people are in the same place, collaborating and working together. And we launched that as an experiment to see what would happen, to see what the potential of that was. And we've seen a lot of growth. So this framework plan really looks back at what's happened over the last 2 years and focuses on what the community needs, what, you know, where are we at and how can we move forward and really capitalize on who's here, what they're working on, and really grow that next, those next years of development in the Innovation District.
Yeah. I mean, Toyin, it really feels like what the framework plan is laying out an imagination and a vision for the future. Would you say that that's kind of what's in this document?
Oh yes, most definitely. I mean, it's great because we kind of have the framework plan provides like structure for the upcoming years. And so we're really excited about that.
Mary, I think you started to go this direction, but can one of you actually just, for people who haven't listened to some of the older episodes, you know, what is an innovation district? Why is this important to Chattanooga?
So Toyin, you can build off this. Innovation district is a dense urban core. It's a designated area built off existing assets of a community. So those physical assets, like where people are working, established business anchors in an area. It builds off economic assets. So what's pouring into that community? What is the investment? Who's there building that economy? And the third is the social asset. So who's there in that area, in that innovation district? How are they connecting? And so bringing all those factors together, it's like a concentrated area. So instead of people being scattered all over the playground, they're in one area and they're focusing on building the sandcastle together.
There's also like an aspect of walkability. So what's the radius? It's like a
radius of the eight blocks.
Yeah. And so then there's also key anchors. So you have the university, you have the EDNY, you have River City Company, you have all these different companies and key anchors that are the public library that are really integral for the community and for the innovation district.
Yeah. And so, you know, we are on the second floor of the public library, like always for a podcast. And so, yeah, we're sitting right in the middle of the innovation district in Chattanooga. And I think, you know, what's fascinating about sort of the innovation district and how it's came about in the city of Chattanooga is, you know, I think a lot of people, when they think about innovation in the past, you know, you think of big office parks, you know, out in the suburbs or something like that. And I guess, you know, what people are finding in cities, you know, whether that's the Brookings Institution who studies these things, is that innovation is not happening in dense, compact areas, not in the sort of office park silos of 30 years ago. And so I think, you know, you guys can tell me if I'm wrong on this, but it was really about, you know, the people within Chattanooga looking and saying, okay, where is that dense area within our own city? And identifying the city core as being that place.
Yeah, for sure. And that being not the only place or the, like, it's the epicenter that builds off that, right? So I think a lot of people, when they hear innovation district, think, well, you got to be in it to be doing something innovative. And really, it's just the starting place of that energy that pours out into the larger community. And when we gather in the innovation district, we go back into our neighborhoods and to our schools and our communities. And that creativity and collaboration pours back out. So it doesn't just stay where it starts.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, as we're talking about specifically here, we're here to talk about the framework plan. And like you said, Mary, what it's been is we've been doing this for a couple of years now, but now we really need to see, what is this going to be in the next 5, 10, 15 years? Where do people want this to go? And so, you know, can you talk about the process of how this framework plan was created? And when I'm talking about the framework plan, I want people to see this is as much an urban design document as it is a human-centered document, and really, what is it that the people in the innovation district value? I mean, it's going over all these things. So it's not just urban design. It's not just planning and strategy for how do we incorporate people into this. It's kind of all of that. So talk about the process of creating this document.
I like what you said about that it's a human-centered plan, because this is not just about one specific group of people. It's not just about us. It's about the members of this community. And the mayor said something actually at the framework release plan, that we're not a city that plans, although we do plan, but we're a city that does. We mm-hmm. do. We yep. make things happen. Yep. And so really this whole plan came about, we were inspired by other communities and other cities that had innovation districts, and we saw that there was a great community in our own in Chattanooga, and we said, how can we bring that back to Chattanooga? How can we elevate the already great talent and businesses and entrepreneurship that's already here? And so, like you said, in 2015, the innovation district came into play. I don't know, Mary, is there anything else that?
Yeah. So after. So the framework plan was like building off of that mm-hmm. and the work that had been done, and looking at, okay, what's next? And so, you know, it's always important that people come in and help us lead that process. So there mm-hmm. was a strategic group from Boston and Philadelphia as U3 advisors, and they came in and they said, okay, you know, we have experience looking at other innovation districts. Let's look at what Chattanooga has. And they walked around our downtown. They interviewed a lot of people. I think you were one of those, to say, what's happening? What do you see happening? Where's your organization investing, to really know what they could build off of? And then, you know, that's great to hear from the stakeholders, but they invited the larger community into three separate public processes to say, okay, what's your experience in the innovation district? What do you want to see? What's missing? Where, where should we start? Where should we begin? And so this process was really informed by public input and key stakeholders really coming to the table, because it's a community plan. It's built off of organizations aligning what the work that they're doing and working together to, you know, build this innovation economy. And so that's where it started. There was lots of iterations around, okay, what's our focus? Where do we begin? You know, and framework being the scaffolding for the rest of what's to come. And I think the key of this plan is that it really is that scaffolding. We need the community to show what goes outside of it. Where does this expand to and really lead that next process? So that's where it started.
Yeah. And I think that's where we're at now. We have this plan and now we just need input. We've already had input from the community, but in order for this to really elevate and for, yeah. for this to really transcend over the years, we really want the input of our community to really take this to the next level.
Yeah, and I think that's really going to reveal itself as we go through this plan, that this is not something the Enterprise Center in and of itself can accomplish, right? This is going to take the city, this is going to take developers, this is going to take entrepreneurs and those key institution anchors all to play a part in making this happen. All right, well, so, you know, at the end of this process, there's essentially a booklet that's been created that is this framework plan. And within the booklet, it talks about values. And so these are the three areas we're going to be talking about. It's going to be talking about values, and then the framework plan as it pertains to urban design, and then strategies. And so I think these are going to be the three things that we actually go through. But I really do want to start with the values. And what are the qualities of the innovation district? Are these things that you guys already see, or are these things you guys are hoping to see one day? And so the values are, really quick, let me just read them, and then we can talk about this. Number one is diversity and inclusion. Number two is culture. Number three, education. Four, innovation. Five, public life. And six, urban lab. Now, are those actually ranked in that way, or are these just the six biggest values?
They're not ranked. I mean, even on the page, they're laid out like alongside each other, because they all like coincide and build off each other. So, and to answer your question, the way that we organize these values was based off of the key takeaways that we heard from the community. So we didn't say, hey, tell us what your top three values are. Is it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? We said, hey, what do you want to see? And then we really looked at it and categorized, okay, wow, there's a lot of prioritization around diversity and inclusion. Actually, that one's first on purpose, because that diversity and inclusion really permeates throughout the rest of what we want to see in the rest of the values through culture, education, innovation. And that one comes first for a reason. But if you look previous in the plan to the key takeaways, we really just kept seeing these themes come up and said, okay, this is what our community, if the innovation district succeeds, this is what they want to see, and this is what they want to uphold. So we put this first in the plan because the work that's done, there's a lot of different directions the development could go, but we want it through the lens of these values, because this is what our community finds to be crucial.
Yeah. Well, can I briefly just talk about 2 minutes, on each one of these. Toyin, keep going about diversity and inclusion. Like, what are you guys looking for in that? Like, how do we play out that value within the innovation district?
Yeah, I think when you have a plan with its magnitude as this one, you have to have values that support that. And like you said, diversity and inclusion, we want our plan to represent our community, which is a diverse community. And so really that really looks like really just getting the input of everyone and letting their interest play out in the plan and any programming that we do. I think I was talking with William earlier about like Nightfall, having different artists come. We have great organizations like Jazzanuga.
There's Artsville. Soundcore.
And so having those type of organizations really showcase the diverse talent and art that's already in Chattanooga, which is really great. And just to have that highlighted would be really great upcoming for the next upcoming years.
Yeah, and that's something that's really fun to think about. The Nightfall, it happens right in the middle of the Innovation District, and it is by far, the most diverse and inclusive event that happens in the city every year, or every Friday night.
Right. And even, like, we just had a recent event that River City put on, the
Beats on the Boulevard.
Beats on the Boulevard. Yep. That's a great event. We're really looking to have more events like that in the future that really showcase the rich history that's already on MLK.
Yeah.
And so that's really exciting.
And I think as we go through this, you're gonna notice how linked all these values are, because the next one is culture. And and so, you know, we could have had the same conversation about culture. So is there anything else you want to add to that on the culture piece?
Yeah, we're really, really lucky to have a great MLK Boulevard and also a great museum that already highlights the rich culture that's in Chattanooga. So I think moving forward is just, how can we highlight that even more? How can we really build on the museum that we have? We've already started to look at other inspirations in different cities and to see how their cultural corridors has really transcended within their communities. And so we're really looking forward to that specifically.
Yeah, and I really love hearing, you know, when we're talking about that. I mean, what seems to be very clear to me, and maybe it's not clear to other people, is you know, the sort of the leadership that's creating the Innovation District is very honest and understanding of where this is, and they don't want to lose that history,
right?
And they feel a responsibility to preserve that. And so that's really exciting to hear, and I hope people are encouraged by that. You know, Mary, what about education? Talk about the value of education.
Yeah. So as we looked at what's next for the Innovation District, was very clear that our community wants to integrate education into the Innovation District, that how business and entrepreneurship and you know, corporations and the business culture works isn't for those who are just in it. It's really for our students. Our students are those who are going to step into that next. They are our future leaders. They are going to be doing jobs that we don't even know what they are. You know, they're the future of work. And so how can we go ahead and really integrate both students into that experience of, you know, Hamilton County's doing a great job launching their Future Ready Institutes, but how are they on the ground in the district, connecting with mentors, learning about industry, learning what innovation is, so they're equipped, you know, when they go to make decisions about their future, they know what's possible for them.
Yeah.
So I think, but beyond just showing students what's in the Innovation District, we have a lot to learn from students. And, you know, who has the most ideas and the most energy? It's students and it's educators. And so really wanting to integrate education in all parts of the district.
Well, and I think that's something we can add to the value of diversity too. Like, right? Like innovation, which is going to be our next one that we talk about. Innovation is not possible in a homogenous environment, right? Like, if you're looking at a problem and you're a team of CPAs, you're going to all come up with similar solutions to solve that problem. But when you start integrating not only people of different backgrounds, but people of different professional backgrounds to start tackling some of these issues, that's when innovation happens, and that's our next value to talk about. So sorry if I jumped the gun on that.
No, I mean, they all lead into each other.
I
mean, innovation, like, you may be like, of course, that's obvious, you value innovation in an Innovation District, but it's not just a word that we put before things or as an adjective we use for things. It really defines how we do things. And so to innovate is to make a change to something that's for the better. Mm-hmm. It's for the better of community, it's for the better of the end user at the end of the day. And so looking through the work that's being done, the, you know, even just a blank, like, basic example is how we work together, how we collaborate. That's innovation. Other communities stay siloed, stay separate. You've got public and private partnerships. And so I think for us, it's continuing to say, hey, our city does have things that we can improve on. Our city does have hard issues. Let's be innovators. Let's look at this through the lens of problem solving. Yeah. Let's be solution driven, and let's do that based on what's here, not what's lacking, but what are the assets? You know, EPB has provided incredible infrastructure for our city. How can we leverage that to help, you know, our most vulnerable citizens? How can we leverage that to build business opportunities for all?
You know, innovation has to be kind of a value of the Innovation District, as odd as that sounds. What we mean by that is, you know, when people think about innovation, they're really just thinking about tech things. And that's not what we mean by the word innovation. It's really coming together to solve problems in creative ways. And so, you know, Toy, and the next value here is public life. And so, you know, as we're kind of looking at these different values, they've kind of all flown together a little bit. But then we get to this one called public life, and it feels a little bit different. So what do you guys mean as a value for public life?
I think public life really just is about the quality of life in Chattanooga. So just being a citizen of Chattanooga, downtown Chattanooga, how was your experience living down here? So I think really we want to increase public life with, again, programming, and that ties in with diversity, inclusion, and culture, programming, festivals, celebrations, interactive components, like interactive art, just things that would heighten your quality of life living in downtown Chattanooga, or just being a citizen of Chattanooga in general. So, and I think just to touch briefly, I think it's just interesting how all of these values really tie in together. There's not one that doesn't correlate with another. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. None of these values could actually stand in and of themselves. Exactly. They need each other. Yeah. And then the final one is the urban lab. So what does that one mean? That feels like the most nebulous of these.
Funny you say that. It is. Urban lab is like bringing out really the opportunity for the digital infrastructure. The future is out there. What does it look like? I don't know, but we have opportunities to explore it now. And we want to do that very publicly. So we... the way that people experience their city in the downtown core, are there ways that we can help both improve and build upon what's next for Chattanooga through experimentation of data and research? It's definitely not my area of expertise, but it gets exciting when you think about that just being showcased, so we don't have to wait 10 years to see what's next. We can be a part of that. We can help inform that. And so that's the urban lab, the city as the place we experiment to build a future we are all a part of.
All right, so those are really the six values. And kind of and now, you know, I really want to move to the sort of the urban design aspect of what you guys are doing, because we really want the Innovation District to really benefit Chattanooga in more than just creating companies, but really we do want it to shape public life. And so much of that aspect of this is found within this urban design element of the framework plan. And, you know, from what I can tell, what you guys, what the consultants did is, okay, this is going to be a dense, walkable area that's meant for collision, that's meant for ideas, there has to be density, right? And so let's measure our assets within this area. And so that's what they did. And really, the framework plan, when it comes to urban design, runs basically from Warehouse Road to the south, up to Patton Parkway and Miller Plaza to the north. And then, you know, from the east, starts with a map building of UTC, which is above MLK there, and goes all the way west to basically the Crystal and the Talon buildings and the public library. And so let's what you guys ended up doing, or what the consultants did, is actually broke this area down into three parts. And the first one is the civic crossroads. So Mary or Toyin, whoever wants to take this, can you give us a sort of a visual idea of this area? And what are the big public assets that that we're going to be taking advantage of as we sort of build for the future of the Innovation District?
Yeah, so you're asking me to describe a visual.
I know, it's tough. I will do. And so there's show notes links down in the show notes to this episode. So I highly recommend people just hit pause and open those up so you can kind of follow along.
Yeah, so looking at the civics crossroads, we're building off the area that encompasses the public library, the Edney Innovation Center, the TVA Park public space. It's anchored by the Talon and Crystal office buildings along with Miller Park. And if you just kind of looked at that, it's in the middle. You have what you drive by every day is the Civic Forum, which is a parking lot. And right now you'll see there's a reimagined research lab there. But that area really just encompasses a lot of incredible anchors, especially next to EPB as a huge anchor in that that area. So it's a space that's got really broad streets. It's very walkable. It's very open. You know, there's a lot happening, a lot of people moving around in that civic crossroads.
Yeah, and so like we said, you know, part of the whole point of doing any sort of urban design plan like this is to help people reimagine what is possible in the future. And honestly, this attracts development, right? Because if an organization or a city has put money into helping to imagine their own future, it really does open the door for investors and both public and private to say, yes, we obviously you guys value this. We want to help do this. And so, you know, a huge part of this is actually reimagining empty spaces, which is going to be really important for the future of this area in terms of density. So the fact that we have in front of the public library an empty lot is pretty shocking, right? Like, and so so part of what you guys are doing is reimagining those empty spaces. So if this wasn't a parking lot, what if we can do something new here? What would be a benefit?
Yeah, and I think like that's what gets people excited. It's not that we said, here's our master plan, like, ha ha ha, here's what we're gonna do. Instead, we said, imagine if. And when you start to imagine and brainstorm, especially with the whole community, new ideas emerge that were never there. And I don't know about y'all, but I hate blank pages. I like to start with a template just because it gets me further along and where I need to go. Yeah. So that's kind of what we did here is said to the community, hey, walk by this parking lot and imagine what could be here. How would that impact you? What would you want to see?
Yeah, and it just puts all it puts the community on the same page, right? Like, it's one thing for a developer in and of themselves to come in and redevelop a lot. It's another thing if that developer comes alongside a public process like this and says, yeah, you know, we want to take advantage of this opportunity, and we want it to be a benefit for the common good of the city. And that's what these sort of plans allow for. So if you are looking at this online, some things that are really important to note, if it's a building in orange, that actually does not exist yet. If it's in yellow, those are spaces that currently exist that have the potential to be reimagined with this new emphasis in the innovation district. All right, so that's the Civic Crossroads, and you know we are going to move through this part kind of fast because this is a you know an auditory platform, not a visual platform. But the next piece is the downtown campus, and this is extending basically trying to pull UTC into the innovation district. And you know, one of the big challenges for Chattanooga that I've always heard, I've been here 8 years, is how do we get UTC more integrated into what's happening in the city? You know, we have 15,000 students right up on that hill. How do we pull them into the life of the community to add youth and excitement into what we're doing? And so I love the intentionality of this portion of the plan, of finding intentional ways to pull the university into downtown Chattanooga. So I don't know which one of you wants to talk about this, but the downtown campus, but it really seems like a lot of this hinges on the map building that you can see on MLK.
Yeah, I'll let Toyin speak to it because she went to UTC and she gets really excited about this.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm a recent grad of UTC, go Mocs. but yeah, I think yeah, part of the plan is for downtown campus, I think, like you said, it's just integrating just that UTC presence within the downtown community. I think it's something that it's been worked on for several years, and it's something that's definitely important to the UTC community, and I think it'll be great once that's finally accomplished fully to its fully a full capacity. But yeah, so the first thing I think is just the integration of UTC and having a bigger presence within the downtown campus, and you know, to just be a student and see, be able to walk downtown and feel welcomed and feel, okay, wow, I see UTC like here where I am. And so, yeah, that and then also the redevelopment of the map block. It's been declared obsolete for some years. And so trying to find ways to repurpose street level activation of underutilized buildings and vacant lots, like you mentioned, the parking lots, and trying to figure out ways to really expound on that. And also including mixed income housing options. So, yeah, I think, again, like Mary was mentioning, just the beauty of just imagination. You know, we have people that work and live and play in these areas. And so being there and living in those spaces and having input in this process, you know, because when you have input from people who actually live and work there and play there, it brings a totally new perspective rather than, I mean, of course, you have consultants that come in and give their perspective, but it's different when you have people that actually are immersed in that area. So.
And when you do look at the framework plan, I mean, this is the one area that has the most sort of new buildings. And again, this isn't, you know, this is just the innovation district imagining what could happen. So when you look at this, you know, we have a huge parking lot that's right across the street from the camp house on Lindsay Street. And this is reimagining sort of, you know, mixed use apartment buildings and retail space, you know, being there. This is helping to reimagine the parking lot that's behind the Bessie Smith Cultural Center. And this is also reimagining so much of that empty property with the map building, including like a hotel, which would be, you know, as a business on MLK, that would be huge. Awesome to have a hotel where parents are staying when they come and visit their kids.
And you mentioned the camp house. I mean, that's a great story in itself. That space was underutilized for so many years, and now we have the camp house, which is arguably one of the most like a
Third
lot of
space.
Used spaces. So, which is a great example.
And I want to like be clear, especially in the map block, because you'll see there is a building, there's new buildings here, but there is currently a building there. So it's not an empty block. And it was, it used to be a federal building that was then turned over to UTC. And UTC has plans for this building of really integrating entrepreneurship and opportunity in the building. And so when we look at it, we don't, you know, say what new needs to go there, but really building off, and this is crucial, I think, to the whole plan, saying, okay, what's existing? How can we elevate that to the next level? And how does that really spur on the new development? Because developers, you know, see opportunity when there's activity around. And so, you know, with the reimagining of the map block, it's crucial that, you know, the UTC is providing that investment right there. How can we continue to build off of that and really integrate into that space? So that's exciting when I think about that. And you know, there's the low-hanging fruit of what UTC is working on now and how that's happening with research and development and then really pulling students into the larger opportunities.
All right. Well, then the third and kind of final sort of area that you guys are focused on in this overlaps with that downtown campus a lot, but it's the ML King Cultural Corridor. Now, I could talk about ML King Cultural Corridor all day, but I'd rather hear you guys talk about it. Like, so this really fits in with the values of diversity, inclusion, and culture. And so, kind of, why have you guys highlighted the MLK Cultural Corridor in this plan?
I think Toyin definitely spoke to this early on, both in diversity, inclusion, and culture. And I think recognizing that an innovation district has assets that make it unique. Most innovation districts around the nation are built off what they say meds and eds, so a medical community or an education community. And those key anchors really help drive the culture and the values and the experience you have in the district. Well, Chattanooga is very unique in this regard. We didn't start with eds and meds. We, you know, put a circle on a map and said, let's see what happens. And out of that has come incredible investment from both the medical and education community. But unique to Chattanooga is that in the heart of our district, there's already a cultural anchor in the Betsy Smith. You know, and the history of the ML King Boulevard in our community is incredible. And, you know, not just saying, oh, let's add some culture to our innovation district, but recognizing what the culture is and building off of that. And so it's more than just a starting place. It is really the anchor of who our community is and what we want to be, you know, and promoting the history that's so rich and deep in our culture and knowing that's who we are, that's where we're going, and that's what we want to place, you know, in high value in our community.
Yeah, and if, you know, if any of that's new to you, like you didn't realize that this boulevard has such a significant history in our community, we do have, there's an episode you can go back and find in the Camp House podcast. It's called the Big Nine Live, because historically MLK was called Ninth Street, and it became known in the early 20th century as the Big Nine, and it was this center of African-American culture. That was one of the major epicenters in the South in the early 20th century. And so, you know, as a community, we really need to own that and be proud of that and help protect that. So I love that aspect is included within this plan. Now, that's kind of like the urban design piece of this whole thing. And then, you know, the plan kind of ends talking about programming strategies. And so tell me about just the strategies here and what the vision is behind that.
Yeah, so if the first three places that we mentioned are where, you know, we imagine the work to happen and where, you know, it's crucial to start, the strategies are the how we'll start. And
yeah, what we were talking about is kind of like the physical aspects of this.
Yeah.
This is much more that human element that...
And really, I think, so the strategies are built around how we'll bring organizations together, how we'll align the things and the work that's happening to really move forward the initiatives of this plan and the development that we hope to see. So it's organized into kind of the people and the, you know, the people side of it and then the place side of it. And it's broken down into four different strategies. People and programming, public realm enhancements, innovation ecosystem supports, and building and redevelopment. So, and then we break it down further into what some of the opportunities and priorities are in those areas.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the first one. Talk about people and programming.
So I think with people and programming, it's just again, being intentional about programming, which includes, of course, diversity and inclusion, arts and culture, including festivals and events, a community of learning. And I think with going back to diversity inclusion with programming, that's just being intentional in having programs that reflect Chattanooga, and again highlighting the rich culture that we already have. And I think the main premise of this all is that of this whole plan is that we already have these assets in our community.
Yeah.
And now it's just the hard part. I mean, that is the hard part. Most cities don't even have that, but we have that already.
Yeah.
So now it's capitalizing on the things we already have and implementing that. Getting people that are passionate about these initiatives and having them directed and lead it into something even more. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what's great about this whole plan, is that we already have these assets. It's now, how can we make it even better?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a virtual innovation district, like in the sense that we drew a circle on a physical map, but now we're drawing circles around like the work that's being done and saying, what if we intentionally pull these things together? And what if, you know, for the next 2 years, 3 years, we intentionally work together and we say, we know what our organizational partners are working on. We know what their goals are. We're both promoting those and we're building off of them. And that collaboration can really amplify the growth of a community. And it also helps inform, you know, the larger community, because there's cross collaboration.
Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, so much of what exists in this area is stuff that's already existed for a long time. You know, like we're talking about Nightfall. But it's also stuff like, you know, Mary, you're coming from 1 Million Cups this morning, which is an event you guys have every week. And all of this plays into that programming element, whether that is business development or arts and culture. All those things are going to be really important within this district. You know, the next piece too is public realm enhancements. Now when we're talking about the urban design element of this, there's actually two pieces in that. There's the public realm, which is going to be stuff that we share, that we have in common, that everybody can enjoy. And then there is private development. And you guys have really distinguished between those two things here in the strategies. And so the first one you talk about though is the public realm enhancements. Talk about that. I know we've already talked a little bit about it with the design, urban design piece, but
yeah, this strategy really focuses on the how this can be done. So just having worked with advisors and consultants to specifically, like I said, get on the ground in the district, walk around and kind of just see, okay, if we were to focus and put some real intention into public realm enhancements, you know, improvements that you experience walking around downtown, where would those be best served? And so in this plan, you'll see, you know, there's a map that highlights 15 areas that if you were walking through the district, like would be incredible to see new things happening. And we've broken those up into some different ways of working, parks and plazas. So, you know, Miller Park's coming online and we're super excited about that. There's streets and sidewalks, there's public realm interventions, like new initiatives that kind of bring your attention to a place that you weren't paying attention to, whether that's through public art or, you know, the blue trees in front of the Bessie, that's a public realm intervention. Crosswalk art, that's another public realm intervention. And then multimodal transportation, so how we're getting around. And I know a lot of people think, like, when I first, you know, public realm enhancements, it's like, well, that's for the urban design people. That's for people who've studied that, or, you know, who have who do this as their job. And really, it's not, because the people who it is in the work, but it's not in the support of it, because, like, the city is built for people and around people.
Yeah.
And so it's like, how is this reflective of our community, both in the way it feels, you know, the way our community is using it? And that's informed by the public, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and so much of this is, you know, this podcast is actually following on the heels of my interviews with the Chattanooga Design Studio, where we talk a lot about these things. But, you know, I was talking to Protege Chattanooga, a group of young leaders in the city, you know, even last night. And what we scientifically know is that the cities in the world that are growing and that are the most successful are those who are shaped for people, as opposed to you know, really being shaped by cars. And that's not to say that cars are bad or anything like that. They're incredibly important and useful tools. But remembering the human element within city design, within the way we design our neighborhoods and our spaces, is critical to quality of life. And that is what we're finding over and over and over again, is what are attracting people to cities, to investing in their communities. I think the public realm enhancements are incredibly important to the future of this area. The next piece in this is the innovation ecosystem and supports. So Toyin, talk to us about that.
Yeah. So I think one of the great assets that Chattanooga has and is really known for is this great entrepreneurial community and ecosystem that we have. And so we have great initiatives and great companies like CoLab, Launch Chattanooga, the Lamp Post Group, Urban League, Chattanooga Commerce, UTC, list goes on. And we have those great assets that really promote startup culture in Chattanooga. And we have some great startups in Chattanooga, and also it's attracted other great companies to come to Chattanooga, of course, because of our gig, which we're so famously known for. Yeah. But providing and creating initiatives to highlight those type of things, to highlight those already the great assets that we already have in terms of entrepreneurship in our city.
Yeah. And I do think this is just highlighting relationships, right? Like the thing that Chattanooga is amazing at, we always call it the public-private partnership, but really what that means is we're really good at working together, about leveraging assets together. Yes. And that's what this is all about.
Especially because we're a mid-sized city and we have that leverage, because it's easier to collaborate because we're not a super big city. We're not a super small city. We're just right in the middle.
We're going to run into each other at Camp House.
Exactly. And then even I think taking that into consideration, kind of playing on that is like the spaces that we're creating. We talked about like the non-traditional office spaces that we're now seeing happen. It's not just sitting in a cubicle. It's now we're creating spaces that are more shared spaces. We have Society of Work and co-working spaces that are kind of shifting towards that trend of working together. And so that's a tie into innovation as well.
All right, and then the final piece is building and redevelopment priorities. Now, again, like this is not possible without the Enterprise Center and the Innovation District really pulling in the city to be a partner in this, pulling in the public to be a partner in this. But we need the private sector to be a partner in this, and this is really sort of the private sector opportunity. Is this strategy the building and redevelopment priorities?
Yeah, really, that last key strategy is the physical part of this plan, and looking at. When we got, on the ground with the advisors and we walked around the Innovation District, we looked at, okay, what's the potential for existing buildings? And sometimes when people imagine the growth of the city, they see new buildings and cranes out there building something from scratch. And that's incredible, but we have some opportunities already existing. And so we looked at which buildings could be repurposed. And I think, this process was really informed by the Edney Innovation Center, a building that was underutilized, opened up an opportunity for our community to show up and to say, we need this space. And we've seen it be a collaboration space, a collision space, and really like, what are those other buildings? What could they be? The Edney has been a key for the startup and entrepreneurial, but is there civic entrepreneurship? Is there arts minded? What's the needs of our community, and how can these buildings really serve those needs? So we love to look at these buildings through the lens of everything else that came before it. That's why it's at the end, because our values inform what these buildings will be. And obviously it's built off private development, but just working in those partnerships with people.
The Edney Innovation Center is built on private development, right? But it's the perfect example of, really forward-thinking progressive developers who want to, not just build a building and have a successful business, but really contribute to the common good of Chattanooga. And those are the kind of partners you guys are looking for in these. But yeah, when you're talking about reimagining spaces too, one of the key pieces in this plan that you guys actually highlight in the book is the AT&T building, not the one that has the mural on it, but if I look out my window from the camp house, there is a 10-story building that's one parking lot over that, as far as I know, is entirely empty in our city. And it's just sitting there with giant antennas on top. Part of this reimagination is like, what could that be? Like, we don't necessarily need to build more office spaces. We have tons of it. Let's figure out a way to activate those spaces and really concentrate and create density.
And the reason why we, you know, why we put this in a public plan is because we know that our community is walking by that building, imagining it too. Yeah. You know, we are a community of creative, imaginative people. And we know you walk by the AT&T building and you start to think, what could this be? And then you start to reimagine, what else could this be? And how could we build off that? And that's yeah. crucial to this plan and to the collaborative ideas we hope come out of it.
Well, and Toyin, you even mentioned it earlier, like, you know, the campouse exists on the bottom floor of a parking garage, mm-hmm. you know? And so, you know, when we moved from Southside and we were looking for a new space, you know, some people told us and really encouraged us to talk to Senator Corker about this space. And we're like, it's on the bottom floor of a parking mm-hmm. garage. But then, you know, we were able to walk through it and really imagine what could be. And so now it's actually fun to bring new people into the camp house for the first time and say, yeah, you realize this is like the bottom of a parking garage.
Right.
And I just love that creativity. And then we got to be a part of that process.
Definitely. We're very passionate about this, obviously. And I think Chattanooga is a city of creators, doers, and dreamers. And that's what this framework plan is really about, is just implementing everyone's ideas and passions and putting it together and really implementing that to create a better Chattanooga. So we're really excited for what's to come in the next few years. And we look forward to collaborating with everyone to make this plan come to fruition.
So, you know, I do want to end with one thing, and that is, you know, there is so much programming that happens at the Edney on the fifth floor. There's so many different things that happen, and the vast majority of people have no idea. And so if one of you, like, if one of you, what I would love for you guys to tell us is, if there is one sort of event that happens at the Edney, maybe on the fifth floor or whatever, every month, if there's one thing you could tell somebody, yeah, you need to come to this, what would it be?
Well, I mean, just going to say it, Innovation Happy Hour.
Okay, nice. Yeah. So when does that happen?
So it's kicking off May 1st, and it's literally just that. It's a happy hour for our community to get together. It's the place where, you know, people working downtown, living downtown, or just curious about what's going on can come and meet each other. And the whole point, the whole reason why we do it is to introduce people to what opportunities there are and connections that can be made. So the first one's May 1st. It's going to follow a full day of activities at Miller Plaza, what we're calling Base Camp.
Yep.
It's a chance for our community to come and work together in that public space. So yeah, Innovation Happy Hour.
Is it going to be on the rooftop?
No. Okay. That's a limited space of 50, and we are hoping that more than 50 people gotcha. Come.
So. That's very good. What about you, Toyin? Give us another event.
Well, I was just going to say, I would definitely encourage people to follow us on Twitter and also Facebook.
Yeah, what are those handles?
Those handles for our Twitter for the Enterprise Center is The Enterprise Center, and Center is CTR. We have so many events and so many happenings that go on within the building and the Innovation District. It'll be a great way to keep up with all of those events. And then also, if you want to follow the Innovation District, that handle is @ChattanoogaID. And also on Facebook, you can just look up the Enterprise Center and the Innovation District. And so that way you can just get a handle of all of the events that are happening.
But I'm not going to let you go without telling me one event that
one
people should
event?
Come to.
Let's see.
The one event.
I would say,
I tell you what, I'll tell people.
Creative Mornings. Oh, were you going to say Creative Mornings?
I was totally going to say Creative Mornings.
Yes, Creative Mornings is a really good one. And when do they meet?
It's the last Friday.
Yes. Friday. The topics are just always... It's always something different.
Yeah.
And I consider myself a very creative person. So I'd love to be able to go to those meetings and like get source of inspiration and get a new way of thinking and talk to different people that are kind of like-minded like myself. And so I really enjoy those as well.
Yeah. Creative Mornings is awesome. It's the last Friday of every month on the fifth floor there at 8:30 in the morning. And it's an international organization, and every month they pick a different topic. And people are invited to speak. And so you never know what it's going to be. I spoke at Creative Mornings one time, and the topic was taboo.
Yeah.
And I end up talking about citizenship and versus individualism within communities. And so that's kind of like an example of how diverse and different these sort of talks can be. And they're a ton of fun. So.
And there's free donuts and coffee.
Yeah, there is free donuts and coffee. I think they're gluten-free donuts too, right?
Yeah, I think
they're fantastic.
We can't ensure that, but I think so.
Okay.
Well, don't quote me on that.
Yeah,
All right. Well, Mary and Toyin, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate the time.
special thank you to Mary and Toyin for taking time to discuss the Innovation District Framework Plan with us. If you haven't seen the plan, then please follow the links in the show notes to this episode, and you can review for yourself the values and strategies that we discussed, as well as see the actual urban design framework for this area going forward. As always, a special thank you to our studio sponsor, the Chattanooga Public Library, and to Charles Allison for producing this episode. And thanks to all of you who listen and subscribe to this podcast. It is our hope that this will connect, inform, and even inspire you about what is happening here in Chattanooga. If that's true, then please take a moment and leave us a rating and a review and share this episode with a friend. Well, thank you all for listening, and we'll be back again next week.